Chapter 1 I'd borrowed 11 homes and outgrown 10 guardians. All called me Toll, minus the delightful handful who'd preferred you, or the girl. By my fourth guardian, the desert had become my true parent, and the stars burning across the night my counselors. Surrounded by charcoal-colored sand, I possessed experience and knowledge. But my desert stretched behind me now. Like the unblinking eye of an immortal star palm, the retreating sun hovered between the spires of a city piercing the iron sky. Towering, unscalable white stone walls gleamed beneath afternoon light and overshadowed a colorful sea of awnings and stalls. Despite the late rains and unrest building since the war, city dwellers held the seasonal rain market. The distant trade route, a dangerous path slicing through the desert, guided groups of travelers carrying coin for market. I'd barely seen the trade route before. It didn't touch the remote villages I hailed from. And by the star palms, Srolo Kapir's description of the city's enormity hadn't prepared me for the tight, squirming feeling in my stomach. Why had I begged Srolo Kapir to let me be the messenger? Why had I declared that I was 19 winters old, trained harder in fire than all my classmates, even though they'd progressed levels ahead of me, and had proven my undying loyalty to the Desert Rebellion? He was my guardian and supposed to stop me from doing foolish things. But after his long stare, preamble for no, he'd shocked me by agreeing, yes. Not only that, he'd also said, Toll, you are ready. Ready, I whispered. That word meant everything to me, even if we both knew it wasn't completely true. Srolo Kapir said important sympathizers to the rebellion lived inside this city. I would find them, and I would deliver the rebellion's message. Falling from among the stars and holding fire as strong and perfected as our blazing sun, a god was returning to Vedowa, like a page from ancient stories. This star palm, reborn as a human, would overthrow the dynasty and its lifetime of tyranny, with a loyal rebellion rallying behind. The time was now. By delivering this message, I would start a war. And by proving myself ready, I would earn my place in the battle. I shouldered my haversack and pulled my traveling scarf, one meant for a man, tighter across my nose and mouth. May the city see a boy instead of me, thanks to my oversized robes, athletic build, and scarf hiding my long midnight curls. I grasped my staff and planted the end into the dust. Adrenaline coursed through my veins, and fire surged with it to my fingertips. Srolo Kapir's warning whispered through my mind. Toll, do not wield unless your life depends on it. I promise, I murmured, as if he were here, wishing he was here before I plunged across the desert toward the trade route. I reached the broad, dusty path and joined the other sojourners. It was a lighter crowd than normal, as Srolo Kapir had predicted, and mostly men, sweeping their robes behind them. The recent conflict and price for water would have prompted them to leave their families at home. Many led stinking beasts of burden and cast me cautious glances before ignoring me. Everyone feared uprisers, or was one. But what could I be besides a village youth with my sun-bronzed skin, traveling to visit the festival, keeping a modest bag of coin to take something nice home to mother? The sun dropped a finger length by the time we reached the market, and I parted from the others to melt between the blessedly covered stalls. Jostling among humanity and goods, I kept my head low, pace slow, haversack close, and inhaled the scents of hot bread, souring juice, rich oils, and sweat. I held my breath, pushing through a group of hawkers murmuring to one another. I would have assumed city dwellers never bathed, except that I knew the rain market traditionally started at sundown. Curfews against the uprisings had forced the festival to begin at simmering midday. And if I didn't get inside before curfew, I'd be stuck spending the night out here among thieves, which was unthinkable, considering the message I carried. This risk was one of three reasons why Srolo Kapir almost forbade me to go. I heard the loud conversation of soldiers before I saw them infesting the market ahead. Wearing scarlet armor and crimson tier 2 tattoos inked across their foreheads, Unlike the paint equally gifted civilians wore, they eyed colorful blankets spread with dried spices and spoke the capital tongue. It was a harsh babble in my ears, amplified by the hush their presence caused. Srolo Kapir had told me the capital was sending soldiers to every city and waypoint along the trade route. No one was permitted to speak of Vetoa's retreat from war with Lajon, a nightmare months old now, or the Empress's vanishing. But the people knew. Unrest boiled, and soldiers invaded from the capital. Their weighty presence was the second reason Srolo Kapir almost denied me this task. Capital soldiers made me ill, but I'd rather face them than the third threat Srolo Kapir warned me about. Since the war, shadow monsters haunted the eastern desert. Eyewitnesses called them powerful winged phantoms that swirled like nightfall, a vile consequence of the dynasty's greed. A starpalm who could defeat the dynasty could also cleanse Vetoa of shadows. And they hadn't invaded the desert interior. Yet. So I'd focus on thieves and soldiers. I moved closer to the wall. 7 local guards kept the nearest gate, so I circled the city, pressing between hagglers. The quality of wares deteriorated until the stench of hot livestock, fertilizer, and rotting fruit encouraged me to breathe through my mouth. The narrower south gate boasted 2 guards. Give me an undermanned, seedy back door any day. Though some time remained before sunset and curfew, a small stream of people formed a line to re-enter the city. 1 husband and wife approached the gate, dragging their market wares behind. I translated their weary expressions as poor sales. A guard left the gate in a flurry of agitated commands. These words I understood, as the locals spoke the common language, and the guard's gesture for money was obvious. Srolo Kapir had warned me about the entrance fee and given me double the required dakri. Now nestled within my boot and unspent crossing the desert. The husband produced 3 coins from his pocket. The soldier shouted, 5 dakri per person, an unannounced hike in the toll. Some in line inhaled sharply. Or was I the one who gasped? The old writings of the star palms demanded that we share our coin with the needy. But I was in need. Srolo Kapir had anticipated payment of 2 dakri and given me 4. The husband begged, pleading for his children. The guard lifted 1 hand in a single fiery flame. He wore no paint on his forehead. A tier 1 wielder only. I itched to fill my hands with fire and challenge him for his injustice. And to get myself inside the walls with everyone else. The husband and wife retreated, allowing the next person to step up. Could the 2 of them make more sales in this poorer section of the market where travelers wouldn't go? Or would they sleep outside the walls until they did? Could I make camp with them? No, what I carried was too precious. I couldn't trust anyone but the allies, who were inside the wall. I fantasized about burning the gate down. If I climbed the wall, they'd shoot me down before I could crest the top. Someone grumbled behind me. A bushy-faced, pinch-eyed vendor threatened some deal concerning his bevy of bottles filled with snake oil. I scurried deeper into the market to think. Trading goods was impossible unless I wanted to sell the homespun cloak off my back, but I had to get inside. A gaggle of the wealthy passed the stalls ahead. Draped in shiny, slippery cloth, they paid entrance to the city with ease and even nodded to the soldiers. I loathed them. Both the military and the rich sat in the pockets of the dynasty, an endless cycle of money, power, and oppression. But justice was coming, maybe sooner than expected, in large and small ways. The writings of the star palms said something about leveling unequal scales. So if I lifted a couple dakri off the next nobleman I saw, that was righting 1 wrong among many, right? I wasn't resorting to common thievery. But no pickpocketing. I'd trained too hard to stoop to that. A glimpse of a dark cloak, stitched with gold, caught my eye. The man wove through stalls, his face covered with a traveler's scarf. He wasn't much taller than me, and his stooped shoulders spoke of weariness or weakness. He headed toward the less populated market outskirts. Alone. I followed. Past clustered tables, fencing enclosed a herd of stocky desert horses. a conglomeration of bays, chestnuts, and grays. The animals huddled between poles supporting fabric offering shade, and a small hut storing the animals' feed. A skinny horse trader sat in the building's shadow with his back to the market, playing himself in a game of dice. He remained absorbed as the man in the fine, dark cloak, slick as a specter, jumped the fence and disappeared inside the hut. A strange move, but lucky for me. Unlike the trader's last dice toss. I crept around the fence and away from the grumbling horse trader. Mares watched me, some huffing and a couple shaking their tangled manes. The stallions must be kept elsewhere, leaving the females and young. Please don't spook. I hopped the fence onto their side. One mare snorted, but that was all. The trader didn't even look over his shoulder. I stole to the hut, drew a breath, and gripped my staff at a point in front of me, left hand under, right hand on top. I reminded myself that the famous Srolo Kapir was my teacher and slipped past the door into cool shadows. Grain bags filled corners. Where? I whirled. A hand seized my arm.